Okay, as we get started this morning, I want to kind of give a little bit of a heads up as what we're going to be doing today. So for the last couple of weeks, Pastor Dan talked about the importance of reading the Bible and how we just need, that's vital for us as believers. Last week, I talked about this idea of prayer and that power-filled prayer that Paul talked about, where he prayed that we would have strength and understand the love of God and understand that our roots go deep and that we work at our Christianity, but we work at it in the strength of the Holy Spirit of God that empowers me to go do these things. And I talked last week about how I really wanted to be this big, strong guy when I was younger, right? And I worked hard doing it, but I worked in my own strength. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to give a little precursor here to what I'm doing. This morning, my goal is not, listen very carefully, is not to make this sound like it's a work-based faith, because it's not. We are saved by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. That's it. It's a free gift of God that we believe by faith. But listen to me. I also want to make sure, so I'd never want to have anybody this morning question your salvation. That's between you and the Lord. But I want you to listen closely to God this morning, because I believe as we wrap this up and I put a bow on the last couple of weeks, if you will, we're going to lean into this idea of discipleship. So I do want to ask you this. I want to make this statement to you that I've made before. I really do believe where you sit this morning in your seat in relationship to your relationship with God, I believe you're right where you want to be. I don't believe this is something that you're like, well, I'd rather be here, but I'm here. You're right where you want to be in your seat this morning. I really genuinely believe that, okay? Some of you are walking well with the Lord. Some of you are struggling, and some of you haven't even made a decision to follow the Lord yet, to give your life to Him, to be forgiven of your sin. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to lean into this idea of what do we do as believers? And what do we do, as we sang this morning, how are we saved from our sin? How do we know truth? And these type of things. And we're going to look at this morning in the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 8 is where we're going to be going. And we're going to, again, look into this idea of discipleship and what Jesus has to say about it, okay? If I can give a title to this message, I'm just going to borrow some of the Lord's words here this morning and hold to my teaching. That word, if you hold to my teaching, is in here that we're going to be looking at this morning. So just to give just a brief context of what's going on here this morning is that Jesus is about ready to talk to a group of new believers, if you will. He's going to single out some new believers. They've been talking about and disputing who Jesus is. They've been disputing about Jesus' testimony. But this morning, he's going to conclude this dispute, if you will, of how we're freed from sin and what truth is and how we find it, okay? And those are the things that I want to look into. So he's singling out a group of people who have recently believed in him. So if you're a very mature believer in here and you've been walking well with the Lord this morning for a long time, praise God as I'm sharing this information. Hopefully there's nothing new that you'll learn from me this morning. Not a thing, because you're very mature in your faith. But if you're in this room also and you've been struggling a little bit and you got a little wobble in your walk, today's the day to get it squared away. And this is the words that Jesus is going to tell you and remind you of. But if you're a person sitting in this room this morning and you've not given your life to the Lord yet and you're walking around faking it, I pray this morning that God would speak to your heart, that there would be a difference in you when you leave this sanctuary this morning, or if anybody's walking online as well, okay, or watching online as well. So John chapter 8, verse 30 through 36 is where we're going to begin. I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to break it down with a few thoughts, and then we'll work our way through this. So verse 31 is where I'm going to start. John 8, 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now what I want to do is I want to break that scripture down this morning with these thoughts of reading your Bible, being in prayer, all the different things that disciples do and as believers do as we walk through this. But today I want to pull out three thoughts out of these verses that I just read. One is, what's it look like to be a genuine disciple? These are Jesus' words, not mine today, that we're going to be digging into. So what's it look like to be a genuine disciple? What's it look like to have genuine delight in truth? And then also, what's it look like for genuine deliverance in our lives? Those are the three things I want to look at this morning, okay? So the very first thing is, let's look at genuine discipleship in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, so these guys have believed, they've taken his word, but Jesus told them, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll keep beating this drum till God takes me to heaven. That big, big theological word right there, if. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple, which tells me if I don't, what am I not? I've got to answer the questions on these things. And again, it's just about, I'm building my, just exactly like we sung this morning, I'm building my life on Christ because he's worthy of it. And nothing saves me but the blood of Jesus. But from there, I begin to walk with him because I want to bring him glory in my life. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, let your good works shine so that your Father in heaven will be revealed. That's my goal as a Christian, as a believer, to walk with the Lord, not to earn a thing, but because of what I do, because of what's been done. That's living the life of a disciple. So first I want to look at, what is this idea of being a disciple? The word just simply means this, and most of you know this stuff already, learner. You can be a disciple of a lot of different things in life. I can be a disciple of Michael Jordan and learn how to play basketball the way he did. But I don't have the ability to do that again, just like we talked about last week. Every one of us in here who have given our lives to Christ have the Holy Spirit of God on our side. So that idea of that idea of being a disciple is being a learner, following someone, one who follows another's teaching. That's all a disciple is. Just keep it as simple as that. But living it out is different because it's to adhere to both the belief and the practice of following someone. So it's not me just saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. To be a disciple, there's got to be a practice or a following. As Ray Vanderlaan said in a video I watched a long time ago, walking in the dust of the rabbi. Are you walking so closely behind the Lord in his life and his teaching, and you're on the move and you're walking with Christ, that you're actually getting from his footsteps, you're so close to him that the dust of his footsteps land on the top of your sandals, if I can put it that way. That's what's important. So that's what a disciple is. But Jesus defines genuine discipleship in this: if you hold to my teaching in such a way that it becomes a part of your life. Think about this. Are you sitting in your seat this morning? Would you just imagine this for a second? What would your life look like without Christ? For me, I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine what that would have to look like to be without Jesus. You got to be kidding me. See, I remember the old Dan. That keeps me in that walking in the footsteps of my rabbi because I don't want to go back to him. So I continue to walk well with him. But as disciples, we're supposed to be imitators of our teacher, to mimic him. How's your life look? Please hear me. You listen to God speak to your heart this morning. I am not here to make you feel bad or beat you up, but I'm here to challenge you, exactly like God's been doing with me for the last couple of weeks or last week of going through this. Am I mimicking my Savior? Luke 6:40 says this, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his or her teacher. It's a daunting thing to be like Christ, isn't it? That's why we need the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we need these practices that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Jesus is speaking to new believers here, and he's letting them know that it's good that you believe, but there's got to be a practice to it in your life as well. And listen to me. I want to challenge you with this. This comes to mind. Are you just a good person, and you just do good things? Or are you intentionally following the Lord in your life? There's an intentionality to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, to be a follower of me, you must abide in me or dwell in me or to make it your home. Remember, we talked about that last week, how my heart, Jesus' home. Are you at home with the Lord's teaching? Or is it still uncomfortable for you? Are you still not really agreeing with it? Or you're just, it kind of agitates you a little bit because I don't want to be that way. I want to be this way. I believe Jesus Christ died for me, but I'd rather live this way. Are you at home with the teachings of our Savior? And here's the deal, unless you're reading your Bible, you really don't know. Because you can't come in here once a week and have your pastors tell you about Scripture, go home and not feed on the Word. It's not going to work that way, you guys. You're going to have such a wobble in your walk, and you'll get frustrated. Jesus says this in John 15, 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing of eternal value. I don't believe we can do anything like that outside of Christ. So disciples should mimic their teacher, but they also should bear fruit. And as we walk with the Lord, we bear good fruit. Commentator Tasker says it this way. He describes this idea of to abide to or to hold on or to continue in, depending on what translation you read. He says this, you will welcome it, be at home with it, and living in it continuously that it becomes a part of your life, a permanent influence for goodness and holiness. Clark says it this way. It is not enough to receive God's truth. We must retain it and walk in it, and it is only when we receive truth, love it, keep it, and walk in it that we are genuine disciples of Jesus Christ. So ask yourself this question this morning from Clark's words. Have I received truth? Have I received it? Do you love it? See, that's an agape love. That's a choice that you have to make. I love the Word of God. Because it makes me uncomfortable, but I want to live like my Savior. Do you keep it? Do you walk in it? If you do, you're a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ, according to Adam Clark, who is a commentator who's very solid in his faith and his doctrine. But here's the deal. To do this, it's going to take spiritual discipline. See, remember when I talked about how I worked so hard in the weight room to put on muscle and to be a strong guy? This takes discipline, you guys, but we're disciplined because we have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in my life. He empowers me to go live out the life that Christ has called me to. We're not doing this in our own strength. So this will take discipline. Richard Taylor says it this way, while discipline may not prove discipleship, I got a lot of allergy stuff in me, so I'm really dry, sorry. While discipline may not prove discipleship, discipleship demands discipline. And I love this statement that he makes. Without discipline, discipleship dissolves. We got to be intentional, you guys. We got to have discipline when it comes to doing this. Spiritual disciplines, if you will, and this kind of behavior promote spiritual growth. If you feel like you're just not on fire and you're not really growing in the Lord, you got to ask yourselves these questions. Where am I at with God and how well am I walking? Have I drifted just a little bit? I haven't lost my faith. I may not even be in sin, but I just kind of got out of some practices. I'm feeling a little apathetic and I'm feeling a little bit weak. So fruit of discipline is this: prayer, studying your Bible, worshiping, giving, gathering together, and serving. That's the fruit of a disciple that is disciplined in his life and moving forward. Paul says it to Timothy this way, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself up to be godly. For physical training is some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both this present life and the life to come. And I like verse 10 in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. This is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God. Have you put your hope in the living God? If you have, then according to Paul, you should labor and you should strive at hanging on to your faith and bringing glory to God. Those are Paul's words to Timothy. In the English, this idea of labor or strive means to agonize. That's where we get the word agonize from, is from this type of lifestyle that we're talking about, that being a disciple. I like Psalm 119:11 says this, I have hidden, think about this, you guys, I've hidden my word, your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what keeps me from sinning against him? One of the things is having his word in my heart. And that has the tendency of drilling down, like mining after something, digging after it, and striving for it. It's by, how do we study the Bible? How do we do that? If we're going to talk about discipleship and talk about his word, and I want to read his word, and that's how I've hidden it in my heart, how do I study the word? I don't want you to just read the word. I actually want you to take time and study it. I believe by studying the word, you do this. You begin with prayer. Lord, help me. Shine the light on what you want me to learn today in the scripture. So it begins with prayer. How do I read my Bible? I read slowly. Slow down. Set a goal, that's fine. But listen to me, if you're reading the Bible one day and something just jumps off the page at you, stop. Just stop and consume that and let that wear on you throughout the day and meditate on that word. So read slowly. Begin with the Gospels. Don't start in Genesis and Leviticus. If you're a brand new believer, read the Gospels first. Ask questions. Ask questions like this. What does this teach me about God? When I'm doing a Bible study, my encouragement to you guys is to find God in the Scriptures. Not just what He does, but who is He? Most of us have been walking with the Lord well for a while. We don't follow God because of what He does or doesn't do. We follow God because of who He is. And when I'm studying the Bible, I find God for who He is. And then I ask myself, how can I apply this to my life today? And we all know this, many of us in this room, I should say, know this, that when you're reading the Word, how many times throughout your day does something that you read that morning become applicable to you as you live your life during that day? Happens all the time, doesn't it? That's because God knows. He's got foreknowledge. He knows what He's doing. The other thing is this, take notes. Highlight things in your Bible. Be consistent, even if it's a few minutes a day. Don't set a goal where you're going to fail. Set a goal that you can actually achieve. Pray, ask God, say, what's my goal, Lord? Because it's better to have a snack each day than starve to death. But we can't live on snacks forever. We've got to build that discipline, and we've got to have that commitment as we're going forward. When we obey, we grow spiritually. And when we're growing spiritually, we grow in freedom from sin. I'm able to lay aside all those things that so easily entangle me, all those sins that so easily entangle me. Why? Because I'm growing. I'm obeying, and I'm growing, and I'm having victory over maybe some sin that I'm fighting with in my life. That's how all this comes to play together. That's why it's called a walk. That's why I call it a walk, and we gain ground. The second thing is this, genuine delight in the truth of God. Verse 32 says this, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Watch this. This is not rocket science. If I hold to His teaching, then I will know truth. If and then. That's how we're going to discern truth. If I ever want to, how do I discern what is truthful? If I hold to His teaching, then I'm going to know what the truth is. It's not rocket science. And we have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in my heart. So this genuine delight in the truth comes from the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, it says this, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit of God will reveal to you what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's not. You ever had that moment where you're like, that just doesn't seem right? I've read something in my Bible even, or heard something in a podcast, or listened to something in a message, and I'm just like, there's something wrong there. Don't be a lazy Christian. Go find out what it is. Because the Spirit of God is prompting you to pay attention to some sort of truth that you may be missing. And what is truth? Real quick, what is truth is this. It's the reason Jesus came into the world. Do you realize that? Jesus says in John 18, 37, when He's talking to Pilate, He says, you say that I am king. And in fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Realize that? So the Lord came, He said, to testify to the truth. So this truth, let me ask you a question. How do you determine what is true and false in your life? Think about your life for just a second. How do you determine when you're looking at life and how I want to live morally, how do I decide what's true? My encouragement to you is God should be your source of truth. The truth should come from Scripture, from prayer, from the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God. Truth is objective. It's never subjective. 2 + 2 = 6. No. It equals 4, and it's always going to equal 4. The sun sets in the west, doesn't it? Truth is objective. We find that in Scripture, where we find that God knows what He's doing, and He is truth, and it's universal. Truth is also universal. If I go to Africa and I preach the prosperity gospel to a person living in a hut, think they're going to buy into that? No. Truth has to be universal. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's universal. Does that make sense to you guys? So it's got to be a universal truth. It's eternal and it's absolute, and truth is freeing from the slavery to sin. Wesley says it this way, the truth written in our hearts by the Spirit of God shall make you free from guilt, sin, misery, and Satan. Do you want to be free? Hold to his teaching. Hold to his word. And then you'll know truth. And the truth will set you free. So how do we know? How do we experience? How do we know this truth? I think Tozer says it right. Truth is not a thing in which we must search. Truth is not something in which we must search. He says, but a person to whom we must hearken or listen to. So the truth is not something I search out. Everybody's got a truth today, right? I tell people I don't have a truth. I follow truth. Make sense to you guys? I don't have a truth of my own. I followed the truth, and that truth is Jesus Christ. So how do we know that? Jesus sets us free from truth. He is the perfect standard of what is right. Who the Son sets free will be free indeed. So what makes a man truly free? To have faith in Christ, verse 30. To abide in his word, verse 31. The knowledge of truth, to know him and his word, and ultimately, the Son sets us free. That's how a man knows truth and truly is set free. And the last point I've got this morning is genuine deliverance. In verse 33 through 36, Jesus says this, or the scripture says this, they answered him. This is the Jews who just newly believed. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we need to be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins, that means practicing sin, is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son, if you've been adopted into sonship, belongs in that family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's a very interesting section of scripture to me because the Jews that were standing there said, we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved. Really? Egypt? Assyrians? Babylonians? As they said this, they were under the Roman Empire. They were being oppressed by them at the time they said this. So they had been slaves for a long time. But what the Lord's talking about here is being freed from the slavery of sin. What they should have said is, that's amazing. Tell me how I can have that. That's amazing. How can I have this freedom that you're talking about? But they didn't talk about it that way. You know what they said? And I want everybody in this room to listen to this morning. They should have said, we're amazed. Please teach us. But you know what they said? We're fine and we don't need this. We're fine. We don't really need this freedom that you're talking about. Hear me. I used to sit in church before I was saved. And I used to listen to pastors talk like this. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to go home in a little bit and everything's going to be fine. Are you like these people that were talking to Jesus that day and said, well, we're not in slavery. We've never been in slavery. Why do you mean be set free? We don't need this. We're good. Are you sitting in here this morning telling yourself that? Are you sitting in here this morning and you've been falling into sin again and you need to repent and you think you're okay? Slavery to sin is the worst kind of slavery, you guys, because there is no way you can escape from yourself. I've been there. 38 years of my life, I was in sin, and I was a slave to it. The worst kind of bondage is the captive that says to himself, I'm okay. I don't have anything I need to worry about. They're lying to themselves is what they're doing. This is the worst kind of bondage. He thinks he is free, but he is a slave to sin. See, when you're in slavery to sin, you don't have the opportunity to walk away from it on your own. You can't be set free from sin on your own. Matter of fact, you'll have the opportunity. You'll continue in your sin. Think about your life, or maybe before. This is the old you, or maybe the you that is today. I can't stop. I don't want to do this anymore. But for some reason, I keep doing it. If you're not a believer in this room, I want you to know that you're a slave to it, and you're not going to be able to stop. You will not be able to free yourself from this. Tasker again says this, so the slave of sin cannot by himself change his status. He cannot convert himself, nor can he be converted by a fellow sinner. The liberator from our bondage must come from outside of the ranks of enslaved humanity, and that's Jesus Christ. So even if you're in this room this morning and you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but you've fallen back into habitual sin, I really want you to hear these words today. You can't free yourself from this. Only Christ can set you free from this. When the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. So what makes a man a slave? Three things. You ready? I'm going to give you three things that are going to make a man a slave. You ready? Sin, sin, sin. That's all it is. Sin will never set you free. You're going to be bound in those chains forever. Whoever commits sin is a slave to it, the Bible says. Sin causes you to be separated from the only one who can rescue you from it. So if you wonder, why am I like this? Why am I going through this? It's because you were captured in the chains of sin. And the question before you this morning is, do you want to be set free? Are you tired of it? Are you just sick of it? And if you're a believer in this room and you're caught in it, are you sick and tired of breaking God's heart? In the book of Ephesians, it tells me, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If you're in this room, you guys, and you've got yourself there, and I don't know why I'm saying this. This is something that God told me to tell you guys this morning. So maybe there's somebody watching online or somebody sitting in this room that absolutely needs to hear that they need to be freed, and here's how you're going to do it. Because you will increasingly... You will continue increasing in the depths of your sin until you're set free. And we know it. We know that to be true. The source of freedom from sin is found in Christ and Christ alone. There's no one else that's going to set you free. Free, really, truly, actually freed from being a slave to sin. You don't have to live this way. And you're breaking God's heart and you're destroying things around you because our sin never just affects me. You drop that rock of sin in that pond and that ripple effect impacts everybody around you. The Son of God has the power and authority to set you free. So maybe you're sitting in here this morning and you are free. Praise God. It's not in your own strength that you've done that. It is by the Holy Spirit of God empowering you and forgiving you and setting you free. Galatians 5:1 says to those who believe, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Don't go back and be yoked into slavery. Tanner talked about this a few weeks ago, about being yoked to Christ and not yoked to slavery. So the question before you, I'll invite the band to the stage. We're going to close with a song this morning. So here's my question to you this morning. I said this before we got started. You are right where you want to be in your seat with God right now. I really believe that. But are you now ready to take a step in the right direction? Are you going to today, for the very first time, are you sick and tired of your sin? Are you like Dan Knust used to be when he'd sit in the church and he'd hear a pastor talk about this, and I knew it just pierced my heart. And I was sick and tired of my life being the way it was. And the only way it was going to change was through Christ. I watched Pastor Dan 26 years ago stand on the stage and say, if you're sick and tired of your life being the way it is, right here is where you change it today. Right here at this altar. And as many of you know, I was the only one that went forward that morning. I remember it plainly. 26 years ago, I was the only one that went forward that morning. And I can't imagine Dan thinking, well, that didn't make much difference, did it? But he had no idea what God was going to do in my life. Are you tired of it? Are you sick and tired of being at war with God, not having any peace, and just being constantly under a burden of knowing I don't like the person I shave in the morning? When I look at that person in the mirror, it breaks my heart. You know that's who you're not. That's not who God wants you to be, and it's not who you want to be. Today is where you fix it. This altar this morning where we're singing this song is where I want you to get up. If you're in this room and if there's nobody here, that's fine. You listen to God. But if God is piercing your heart this morning, I want you to get up and I want you to come forward and I want you to kneel at one of these altars and I want you to cry out to the one who can save you from your sin, the one who can bring you from death to life spiritually, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the only way it's going to happen. And as we sing this song, if you're sitting in this room and you need to repent and you need to knock it off, that you've been misbehaving and you've not been listening to God and he's had it, that's why he's speaking to you this morning, because he loves you and he misses you. And he's saying, like he did to Adam in the garden, where are you? Where have you gone? What happened? How did you start to harm our relationship together? This altar is open for you this morning. Now's the time to come get it fixed. Because I really believe as a pastor, when God lays this stuff on our hearts, it's for somebody in this room or somebody online that's watching this. Oh, and maybe you're doing well with the Lord. And you've walked well with him for a long time. And you are a child. And you have been set free indeed by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God this morning for that. And always remember, you're one choice away from heading in a different direction. Praise God that you've been saved and you're a child and you've been set free and you've been set free indeed. And your names are written in the book of life. Praise God for that. So those three groups of people that are sitting in this room this morning, unsaved, people that need to repent, and those that are walking well with the Lord and know their names written in the book of life, we're going to sing this song. And I want us to celebrate, because most of us in this room are doing well with God. And I want to celebrate that I am a child of God, that I've been set free from the blood of Jesus. And my name is written in the book of life. And that's a work that God's done in a surrendered heart. So this idea of being a disciple, you read and you pray and you work and you strive and you agonize. Why? Not to earn anything, but because we need to follow him on earth so we can follow him to heaven. The altar's open. You listen to God this morning. If no one comes forward, I have no problem with that. I want you to listen to God today. So if you would stand, can we celebrate that our names are written in the book of life and we've been set free indeed?